Hello there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It is a fantastic weekend of sport. You've got Chelsea v Man City, you've got the Ryder Cup, and we've also got some cracking racing. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a brilliant card at Newmarket on Saturday on ITV4, plus two races at Haydock, are Graham Rodway and David Jennings. And David Jennings was part of the team that was stunningly successful with their tips last week. DJ had Bielsa, who won the big handicap, the Air Gold Cup. Well done. Absolutely stormed to victory there. And Keith Melrose, a 25-1 winner in Saxton. He had a 14-1 winner of the Mill Reef. He also gave Bielsa a big up. So hopefully, if you listened in last week, you did okay. Well done, DJ. DJ, how are you confident going into this weekend?
Yeah, I love this Saturday. I think like you get a slight glimpse of the future, Bruce. So really looking forward to it.
Okay, right. And so, yes, we've got one of the hardest races of the entire year. 34 runners for the Cambridgeshire. And then we've got three intriguing two-year-old group races from Newmarket. And we've got a couple up at Haydock. There's some group action at Curragh. Loads and loads of other meetings. G-Rod's local track. Chelmsford hosts some races. Have you got one for us there, G-Rod?
Yes, I've had a good look at Chelmsford, Bruce. So stay tuned.
Okay, are you excited for the weekend? It's going to be some weekend, isn't it, G-Rod? Will Mrs. G-Rod be allowing you much access to the TV this weekend?
Well, you wouldn't believe, but before the kids left this morning, I actually had a discussion about which TV I would be taking for the whole day today, because, of course, we've got the Ryder Cup kicking off shortly. We've got all the racing group ones everywhere. There's a big boxing match on. There's loads of football. I mean, I don't think I'm going to leave the sofa for the next 3 days. And I mean, I was so excited this morning. The missus was like, "What's up with you?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, she's got no idea, obviously."
Your missus hasn't seen you excited in a long time, Graham.
I don't know. You see, West Ham are going well, aren't they? I bet G-Rod's loving it. Right then, anyway, on to the racing. Let's try and solve this Cambridgeshire. 3:40 Newmarket on Saturday, live on ITV4. 1 mile and 1 furlong. Bet365 is the sponsor. Here are the indicative best prices. 15-2 Astro King, 15-2 Magical Morning, both trained. No, they're not actually. Uncle Bryn, 15-2. The latter 2 and 3 trained by John and Thady Gosden. 9-1 Chichester, 11-1 Anmat, 14-1 Bar. Let's see what we've got by way of each way offerings. We've got 8 places with Sky Bet, 7 with Coral, 7 with Ladbrokes, 7 with William Hill. So do shop around if you can get 8 prices. Mind you, you're going to need them, G-Rod. This is tough.
Yeah, it's always a great race, isn't it? Hopefully they iron out the bias that was happening on Thursday afternoon at Newmarket. They seem to be a huge favoured towards the stand side rail, but apparently they've put some water on and they think that it is going to even up as the week goes on. And how many times have you seen it that on the first day of a 3-day festival they all come up the stand side, and then by the end of the week they're all going up the far side, and as a punter you're pulling your hair out going, oh, you know, which side do I really want to be on? And sometimes I think in these big handicaps you can almost overthink the draw a little bit. You're better off just deciding on what you think is the best horse in the race and just hoping that you're on the right side.
The thing is though, G-Rod, if you look at the last 5 years, the winners have been drawn 28, 29, 21, 29, 25. So there has been a few clues there. Does that cloud the way you're thinking about this race?
Well, I'm going to have a punt on both sides. The one that I like on the stand side in the high draws is Anmat for Owen Burrows, Jim Crowley. I mean, this is the improving 3-year-old in the race. It's obviously that sort of race, isn't it? It's often won by an improving horse like Anmat. Last time out, Donny won very, very well, beat Faisal length and 3/4. He's carrying a £4 penalty for that, means that he's £2 well in. And I just thought that he looked the absolute ideal type for the Cambridgeshire and Matt. But on the other side, it's also worth having a bet on Chichester, who obviously was a wildly impressive winner at Ayr last week, won by 6.5 lengths. Again, he's able to race under a penalty, and he's £9 well in. I mean, if the handicapper could get hold of him again, he'd be carrying £9 more than he's racing off. So he's absolutely thrown in for Holly and Keith Dalgley. So Chichester's coming out stall 10, and Matt's coming out stall 22. Hopefully one of those two will come up the right side and end up winning.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. David Jennings, what is your assessment of the Cambridgeshire?
Yeah, it's interesting with the high draw. I think earlier on this week, I think the far side was quicker on the going stick, but they put, I think, 3 or 4 mils of water on it on after racing on Thursday. So I think it kind of has evened it up. So I think that it is going to be, I think you do need to be drawn high, as you've seen in recent history. Look, I think Joseph O'Brien is possibly the best target trainer out there. You see his illustrious list of big race wins, 2 Melbourne Cups. He won the Kerry National the other day. Like, State of Rest won the Saratoga Derby. I think when he actually puts his mind down to it, and it goes back a couple of years ago to Early Doors winning the Martin Pipe at Cheltenham, he had that race in mind for him for a whole year and had to get him perfectly handicapped, obviously, to get into it. I think he ran off 1:45 that day. And I just think he's a genius at targeting one specific race each season for a lot of his main horses. And while Dan Stupider mightn't be one of the main leading lights in the stable, I would say for at least 12 months, Joseph O'Brien has been thinking Cambridgeshire, Newmarket, 1 mile 1, Dan Stupider. He's been a little bit disappointing. You have to go back. Joseph bought this horse after he beat his own Patrick Sarsfield in a Cork Maiden back in 2019. John Kiley used to train him. He obviously thought the fact that he was able to beat Patrick Sarsfield, who's rated well into the 100 at this stage, was a serious statement of intent from this horse. And he's only actually ran 7 times for Joseph, and you might think he's been a little bit disappointing, but he kind of came alive last autumn. He won at Nace off a mark in 95 last October, roughly around this time, maybe 2 weeks later. He's only had 3 runs since. He had 2 runs in the spring, disappointing, but last time at Punchestown, and what I thought was a prep for this, he was slowly away, but I thought he ran really well behind Casanova. It was definitely a pipe opener for this. I think he's well handicapped off mark at 97. James Doyle has been booked, and as I said, Joseph O'Brien, he is the ultimate target trainer. Stall 16, and I think he might be just about drawn high enough to give what would be Ireland's only, sorry, I'll rephrase that sentence, what would be Ireland's, hold on, I'm getting the words completely jumbled up. Hold on, third time lucky. What would be Ireland's second winner in 56 years. She's Our Mare in 1999 was the last time Ireland won the Cambridgeshire. So I think Dan Stupider can do the business. My second choice is Amethyst, who I think is crying out for this step up a trip. But Dan Stupider, 16-1. That'll do for me.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, gents. That was the Cambridgeshire. Now then, the rest of the ITV card from Newmarket is filled with very good two-year-old races, starting with the 150, the Judmonte Royal Lodge Stakes, Group 2 over a mile. It's 7-4 Masakela, 5-2 Coriubus, 130 Royal Patronage, 12-1 Hoth. It is Hoth, isn't it, DJ?
Hoth, yeah. Very nice part of North Dublin, yeah. Very nice.
It looks lovely. It kind of juts out into the sea, doesn't it? As you fly into the airport, you come over Hoth, don't you? It looks
you
very
do
nice
indeed. Hoth Head, yeah, it's gorgeous. Mm.
And then it's 14 bar. Now, DJ, before we talk about this particular race, we need to see some stars this weekend, don't we? Because, I mean, if you take Native Trail out, this two-year-old campaign has been pretty dismal, hasn't it?
Disaster, yeah. Like, it does often happen that you need to get into kind of late September and maybe even what used to be the Racing Post Trophy, the Virgin Futurity, when you see a real star. But you're kind of getting a bit anxious now, kind of going, uh-oh. Native Trail was obviously very good in the National Stakes, but you really do just want to see something. Aidan obviously runs Luxembourg in the Beresford, so maybe he's the new number one after Point Lonsdale was beaten. But yeah, you just, hopefully the Middle Park especially and the Sheaveley Park could produce a star, and we kind of need it. We need these markets to be given a shake-up.
Sorry, DJ, we certainly do. You stopped very abruptly there. I thought you were going for a good
10 minutes. I didn't know whether you wanted to go straight into the race.
No, that was absolutely fine. No, that was fine. Tell me who you fancy for the Royal Lodge.
Luckily for you, it's going to be short and sweet. I fancy the favourite. I think Masakela is kind of just the type you want for this race. Knows how to get down and dirty, knows how to fight, knows how to battle, and I think he'll just grind it out. Like Andrew Balding won this with Ellen Park a couple of years ago, and I think Masakela is something similar. You know, doesn't do everything on the bridle. I think he's crying out for a step up to a mile, and he's rated 107. I think he's got the best form there by just being beaten a short head by Native Trail in the superlative. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. I think it'll be hard work, but I think he'll win.
Whenever DJ says this will be short and sweet, the first thing I do is wander over and flick the kettle, put the tea bag in, maybe get a paper or something and put my feet up. But that was relatively short for you. Masakela for DJ, who for Graham Rodway?
Yeah, I quite like Hove, who obviously is the Aidan O'Brien runner. Now, O'Brien's run this race with some right old yaks in the past, hasn't he? Which is like,
yes.
Royal Doinock and, you know, Daddy Longlegs and things like that. And Hove just reminds me of him, you know, a really exposed two-year-old. But the one thing that he is he's very tough, he's very game, he stays very well. And he'll know a lot more than a lot of these two-year-olds. He'll
so those are the four things he is, not the one thing he is.
The four things he is, yeah.
I thought the one thing that Graham was going to say there was, and he's got blinkers on for the first time, but he actually didn't even use that in his four.
Well, I actually
might be coming to that.
I want to set you a task here, DJ. Now, I know, obviously, you're on really good terms with Aidan. You know, you're like best pals with him. And
yeah,
I want
we
you
have
to,
pints every night.
Absolutely. I want you to ask him if he actually trains his horses in blinkers before they go on the course, or whether he just sticks them on the course for the first time. So have they actually worked in the blinkers at home, or have they not worked in the blinkers at home? And when they get on the course, is that the first time they've ever run with a pair of blinkers on? Now, I had this discussion with James Millman, who obviously Rod Millman is his dad, and Kevin Ryan is his dad. And I suggested that Aidan O'Brien didn't put any headgear on his horses at home. He would just send them straight to the track, and that'd be the first time they'd ever seen headgear ever in their life. And Millman said, no, that's complete nonsense. Of course, we always work our horses at home in blinkers. And then Kevin Ryan's son said, well, we don't. So I want to know what Aidan does. Does he run them in the blinkers at home or not? Because he's not got a great record with first-time blinkers, Aidan. Like, it's about 10, 11%. It's not brilliant. So it's not necessarily a positive blinkers, DJ. That's why I didn't mention it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something, Graham. You come out with some fairly off-the-wall requests and statements, but that's fairly on the money. I'm kind of intrigued now. I will ask him for you.
Excellent. Wanted to know is, G-Rod, what were you going to call your selection if we hadn't already mentioned how
he did? He messed it up already. He said hout there in the middle of that.
I was going to start off the whole thing by saying, yeah, this is the sort of pronunciation that would get me in trouble in Ireland, because I was absolutely certainly going to call it hout, but then you all corrected me before I could get
Hoth.
It wrong.
Yeah, you have to say Hoth. Okay, right. That was the 150. Let's move on to the 225, which is a Group 1. It's the Judmont Cheveley Park, over 6 furlongs. Sacred Bridge, unbeaten in 4 starts, is over from Jer Lyons' yard in Ireland, and she is the 7-4 favourite. Sandrine is 5-1, then it's 5-1. Also, Zane Claudette, Flotus is 11s. It's 14s bar. Plenty having a crack at this. It's 12 runners, so you might even get 4 places somewhere. Yeah, you will. I tell you what, better than that. You get 4 places with William Hill and Bet365. You get 5 places with the kings of the extra place, Skybet. So that is an incentive to get involved. And who are you getting get involved with, Graham?
Very difficult race, isn't it, Bruce? Because this favourite, Sacred Bridge, looks like she could be a bit of a star for Jer Lyons and Colin Keane. I thought that she was mightily impressive last time out at the Curragh, but whenever Jer Lyons sends horses to Britain, they hardly ever win. I mean, he's got an absolutely shocking record when he sends them across from Ireland. I think he's had 2 winners from 31 runners. Just looking here, that's 6% in Britain in the last 5 seasons, which is absolutely shocking record if you're looking at backing a horse of his at 7-4, 13-8. However, I do think Sacred Bridge will win.
A G-Rod classic. David Jennings, follow that.
Yeah, that was a G-Rod classic. Like Sacred Bridge, I think she surprised everybody a little bit. She certainly surprised me. I do think she's very good. But, you know, she's improved at racing. Like her latest performance in the Round Tower, that was scarily good. It really was. She was absolutely brilliant. Now, what does the form amount to much? Geocentric was obviously beaten next time. Ladies Church has been beaten. Ultramarine, who was fourth, has ran a shocker the other day at Fairy House. So it's just hard to know what she's beaten, even though she's beaten them really, really convincingly. She deserves to be favourite. And, you know, if all the horses were the same price, she'd be the one I'd be backing. But I do think Desert Dreamer is almost guaranteed to be banged there. She's been a very unlucky filly, this Bruce. Like, she was just beaten like a nose at Ascot in the Princess Margaret by Zane Claudette, and was caught on the wrong side of, obviously, Zane Claudette, and came in on the blind side. But last time at York, you know, her saddle slipped. There wasn't a difference in winning and losing, but I just thought the race didn't go the way I wanted for her. I think this is likely to suit better. She's already proven she likes Newmarket. And I just think they're going to go so quick. They've figured out how to ride Flotus now. And I think if you're looking for a kind of an each way bet to nothing, I'd be very surprised if Desert Dreamer doesn't finish in the first three. And I think her cruising speed and her ability to travel off a fast pace is going to really stand to her here. And yeah, as I said, I'd be very disappointed if she's not in the first three, Desert Dreamer. If you can get some 12 to 1 or even 14 to 1 out there, I think that's a cracking price.
Surely the extra the places are more important than the prices, aren't they, DJ? Five places.
Oh, yeah, big time, especially with Desert Dreamer, with a filly like her, yeah.
Absolutely. OK, 10 runners go to post at 3 o'clock for the Jubmont Middle Park. Route 1 over 6 furlongs and Perfect Power from Richard Fahey's yard. Christophe Soumillon comes over to ride that. 2-1 Fav. Dr. Zempf is 11-2. Asymmetric is 15-2. I could have said it's 15-2 bar, and that brings an asymmetric, couldn't I? 8-1 Castle Star and 8-1 Go Bears Go. DJ, did my gymnastics joke go straight over your head there?
I just got it at the very end. Yeah, okay. It was very good.
It wasn't that good, to be fair. No. Yeah. Who wins?
Oh, Bruce, this is really tricky for me. You know me better than anybody. And myself and Castle Star go back towards the start of the season when I said on this podcast that Castle Star was going to take the juvenile division by storm. And I was utterly convinced of it. Told everybody to back him for the Coventry. And he didn't run in the Coventry. And he hasn't won since. But this is like, he's 8-1. Like, it's bonkers. Like, he's 8-1 and Perfect Power is 2-1. He's 4 times the price of Perfect Power. And that's just blatantly wrong. Now, this is a match made in absolute equine and human heaven, because Jamie Spencer is riding Castle Star. And if Jamie Spencer's just, this is just, he's just literally born for Jamie Spencer. Loads of cover, needs to be held up. You need to ride this horse with so much balls and come as late as possible. And that ability, again, a little bit like Desert Dreamer. I just think this race, a Group 1, run at a frantic early gallop. I just think Spencer would be able to coax Castle Star nicely into it. And I do think it's a shrewd bit of placing by Fozzie Stack. He could have went, since he was beaten in the Phoenix, he could have went, you know, for even tried the National Stakes, or he could have went back to 5. There was loads of different options in Ireland. He's decided to keep him for the Middle Park. He's booked Spencer. He's given him a little break. I think 8-1 Castle Star each way, a bit like Desert Dreamer. I think he's going to bang there. Now, it is the heart ruling the head a little bit, because Perfect Power deserves to be favoured. But this Castle Star's 4 times the price. That's too much.
G-Rod, I tell you what, I'm just looking through past winners. Past 10 years, there isn't really a star among them, I must say. It really has been quite disappointing, the old Roll of Honour. Have we got a good one here? And if we do, who is it?
No, I don't think there is a good horse in this, actually. I think it's quite a poor 2-year-old Group 1. DJ, do you know what Jamie Spencer's record at Newmarket is in the last 5 years? Do you know how many winners he's ridden there?
Graham, guess what? I don't.
He's had 5 winners in 5 years there. Do you know that? He rides an average of 1 winner a year at Newmarket. That course at Newmarket, when they get racing down to that dip, it just doesn't suit his style of riding. You know, the horses that are held up, he needs to be finishing. And that Newmarket track, you've got to get them running down into that hill and then get them coming back up the other side. And he gets them going too late. I can't have Spencer on that one, Castle Star. So I really do not like this favourite here, Bruce. I mean, Perfect Power, I mean, it's a joke of a price at that price. I mean, that Group 1 that he won last time at Deauville was absolutely shocking race. I mean, Trident went off a short price for the Somerville Tattersall Stakes on Thursday at Newmarket and got absolutely hammered by Modern Gains. The fifth place Gubbus ran at Newbury the other day and was thrashed. I mean, that is not a Group 1 race, in my opinion, and for all that Perfect Power won it very well. And of course, I think this one might be another one from our stats, because I think this might go to Jur Lyons again, Dr. Zempf. I mean, this one beat DJ Selection last time out. This one was second ahead of Castle Star at the Curragh. And I think that might be the piece of form that proves key in this race. He was second behind Ebro River in the Phoenix Stakes. He's a good price as well, Dr. Zemp, for around 5-1. I think that's the best form on offer here, but yet it's not priced up like it is.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Right then, that was Newmarket. We'll go to Haydock Park next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back. Let's look at Haydock's two ITV4 races now on Saturday, starting with the 205. It's the Betway Handicap over a mile. 13-8 Fav is Noble Dynasty, 5-2 Nugget, 15-2 United Front, 8-1 Cruyff Turn, 11-1 Bar. Seven runners, so not much each way fun to be had. Is there any value out there, Graham Rodway?
Yeah, I think that Nugget's a really good bet here. The horse has been off for 147 days, which is the only concern. But if he was coming in race fit, I think he'd be close to an absolute certainty. I think he's the best horse in the race by quite some way. I mean, he beat Daniel easily. I think it was in one of those spring races, you know, they call it the spring double, the Lincoln and the other one. Not sure what one it is, but it's
a Grand National.
No, I don't think it was the Grand National.
The spring double is the Lincoln and the Grand National. The autumn double is Cambridge and the Cesaro, which, well, it certainly was in my day.
No, you're making that up, I think.
I'm making it up.
I'm sure you may know.
What is it then?
It's the, let me find it. It's called the Lincoln and the Spring Cup.
Spring Cup of Newbury, is that what you're trying to
say? Yeah, the Spring
That's
Cup.
It's not the Spring Double.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the Lincoln and Spring Cup. Everyone knows that.
It is a double in the spring, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. The Grand Nationals, that's nonsense. Anyway, yeah, last time out at first, in the first Cunt Cup, I mean, this has given one of the worst rides I've ever seen in my life, Nugget. I mean, it was just given far, far, far too much to do and still almost won. It was beaten a neck by Stalton. I mean, it would have beaten Stalton by about five lengths with any sort of ride. Having said that, the third was Astro King, who runs in the Cambridgeshire, and that was also given a shocker, and those two should have finished first and second. But I think Nugget, if he's, you know, as long as he's sort of anywhere near fit after 147 days off, I just think he's different gravy to this lot.
Very confident choice, Nugget, for Graham Rodway. DJ, do you agree, or are you going to take him on?
Incredibly and very worryingly, I completely agree with Graham. This doesn't happen very often. The bet is just completely the wrong way around here. Like, Graham obviously went above and beyond the call of duty there, describing Sean Levy's ride in the Thirsk Hunt Cup. But it was, yeah, wasn't Sean Levy's finest moment. It was one of them when you're watching it and you're going, this horse is absolutely tanking and he's hard in the bridle and it's a furlong out. What the hell is going on? And he absolutely flew home, was beating the neck, was about a half a length in front and three more strides. And like, to me, he just screamed he was by far the best handicapped horse in the race. He's £4 higher now. The worry is obviously he hasn't been seen since May, but I'd say they thought, let's have a really good autumn with this horse. And maybe this is the first leg of a really good autumn that could see him jump in class. Betting is just all wrong here, Bruce. Nugget should be favoured.
Excellent. Two very confident shouts for Nugget in the 205. The 240 at Haydock, these, the Heed Your Hunch at Betway Handicap, over five furlongs. 3-1 Jawal, 9-2 Copper Knight, 5-1 Mon Damage, 6-1 Premier Power, 8-1 Be Proud, 12-1 Bar. Some old favourites here. We'll start with you, David.
I'm absolutely sick of these sprint handicaps. I see more of Mon Damage and Copper Knight and Jawal than I see of Aoife. They just turn up every single week. We seem to be on a podcast talking about Mon Damage. And I've just learned how to pronounce them properly, which is quite good for me. I hate this race, absolutely hate it. I would chance Royal Crusade because he just hasn't been running in the mall and could have a little bit more to offer. He's rated 103. Like, he was rated 109 when he came back from Maidan earlier on this season. And he might just be worth a crack over five and might just be a little bit better than them. But I hate this race.
Okay, do you hate it, G-Rod?
Do you? I do. I'm sitting there laughing my head off because DJ's just sort of, you know, he's got it right in the head, doesn't he? I mean, these also just turn up every week. And the funny thing about this race is that there's no doubt about it in my mind that Jawal and Mondamage are by far the more talented horses from their marks that they've currently got than Copper Knight is, who's currently racing off a mark of 98 and is handicapped to the hill. But the difference between Jawal and Mondamage and Copper Knight is that Copper Knight is like rock solid, turns up, You know, he run his race every time, gives you 100%. You know, he's going to blast out. He's going to be bang there. He's going to give it a good go. Mondamej and Joao are just like, oh, you know, do they fancy it today? Do they not fancy it? Are they in a, you know, are they in a good mood? Are they not? Are they going to put in their best form? So it's just a complete guess up, really, as to whether Joao and Mondamej are going to decide to turn up on the day. And if one of them does, they'll probably beat Copper Knight. But I just think the percentage call really is to back Copper Knight, because you know he's going to run well. He always runs well. And although he is handicapped up to his best with a mark of 98, David Allen's been riding in virtually every race this season. This time, Ella McCain takes over, claiming £5. So effectively, he's running off 93. And if she can give him a pretty straightforward ride, I mean, it's a 5-furlong race. You know, all she's got to do is sit on him and point him in the right direction and he'll go. Then he just might be too solid for him.
I think always runs well. He's stretching it. 12th of 16 last time, 10th of 11, 5 months ago. I mean, he is a great horse, but he didn't always run well, does he? But anyway, I take your point. Right then, that was the TV action. Let's see what else the boys fancy this weekend.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. Live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Graham Rodway. We've done the TV stuff. There is loads of racing on Saturday in Ireland. It's the Listowel Festival. I think it's day 7 of about 28. We've got some really good group action at the Curragh. We've got Newmarket, we've got Chester, we've got Market Raising, we've got Ripon, and we've got Graham Rodway's local track, Chelmsford. So let's see what the boys fancy. We'll start with you, David Jennings. Don't give your nap away.
Yeah, over at the Curragh, the 2:30 is the Beresford Stakes, usually a pointer to next year's Derby. And Aidan O'Brien runs Luxembourg as he seeks, I think, an 11th straight win in the race. He's chasing a 21st victory. And the fact that he relies on Luxembourg, who was impressive at Killarney, tells its own story. So he'll probably be very hard to beat. But just two bets for me at Listowel. It's the final day of the Listowel Festival. In the 2:15, the 2.5 mile handicap hurdle. Good Time Johnny, number 17 on the race card. This horse ran the champion bumper won by Fernie Hollow and actually ran quite well, and they finished 9th of 23. He's only written 108 over hurdles, but his jumping had got better, and he jumped well at Sligo prior to falling at the third last. He was trading really short and running, and I think this is tailor-made for him. I think he's really well handicapped off 108. That's Good Time Johnny in the 2:15. And I think the best bet on the Listowel card is in the 4 o'clock, the 2-mile-1 handicap chase on Freach Moor, a nice Irish name for you, for Ross O'Sullivan and Cathal Landers. This horse started favourite for two handicap chases that were much better than this race, off a mark of 130, and he'd excuses in both. He'd an overreach at Naas, and he wasn't himself at Wexford at all. He's run off 125 now. He's £5 lower in a worse race. He's a better horse than his mark. He was really impressive last season in Navan in a handicap chase. He's a gorgeous, big, massive horse. He's a really big unit, and I think he can win this for Ross O'Sullivan and Cathal Landers. That's on Freach Moor in the 4 o'clock at Listowel.
Cheers, David. What have you got for us, G-Rod?
Yeah, I'm going to have a little bit of a Yankee on these four, because I think two of them will win at least. But
I think two will win, and I don't think the other two will win.
Yeah, why don't you just do a double?
Well, I couldn't tell you which two is going to win. You know, I think two of them will win, but I'm not sure which ones. You know, but as long as two of them win, you know, you almost get your money back, and then you're on bonus territory, isn't it? But anyway, when none of them win, everyone will be on to me giving me pelters about it. But I don't care. 1:15 at Newmarket. Oheka should win that. A massive eye catcher, first time out. Behind Silk Romance. I was there that day on the July course, and you will not see a more knock your eye out eye catcher than Oheka was that day. And then, of course, yeah, I mean, I'm so excited about this weekend, but I didn't even mention that Chelmsford is back, isn't it, in the evening on Saturday night. I mean, that just makes the winter, doesn't it? So, three bets at Chelmsford on Saturday night. The first one's in the 7 o'clock. It's called Ralston Scar. This will be a short price after winning very easily last time out at Leicester, but is running off the same mark. I'll be very, very disappointed if Ralston Scar can't do the business. Only three runners in that race, which is a bit of a shame, but there you go. Then at 7:30 at Chelmsford, Crimson Sand is coming from a wide draw, which is not ideal there, but the horse really runs Chelmsford well. I mean, he was impressive when winning over the course and distance two starts ago, and then bumped into Boom Shalar last time out. It was absolutely thrown in that day, I'm convinced. I don't think there's anything of Boom Shalar's level of ability in this race, and Crimson Sand should be too good for them. And then in the last race, the 8:30, one that has got a very good draw is Jorvik Prince, who is a regular at Chelmsford. He's a course and distance winner, absolutely loves it at the track. Should be a very straightforward ride for £7 claimer Erica Parkinson. So hopefully she can get him out from stall one and well, it'll be very difficult to beat from there because it's a very tight turn. So she'll go round that inside. I'll just talk you through how she's going to ride. She's going to go round the inside and she's going to come off the rail because you don't challenge on the inside at Chelmsford. You come off the rail, you come down the middle, and then she'll get there near the line. So that's the four bets for me on Saturday at where was it? Newmarket and, of course, Chelmsford.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, G-Rod. Time for the nap.
This will not be beaten.
I am going to Newmarket, Bruce, for my nap. It is in the 4:50. It is the British Stallion Studs EBF Jersey Lily Filly's Nursery Handicap. And it's a filly called Tinderbox for John and Daisy Gosden and Frankie Dettori. I think you can forget her run last time at Goodwood. She was trapped out wide throughout and never got a chance of getting into the race. The form of her Kempton maiden win has worked out well, as has her debut run behind Value Theory. She gets in here off a mark of 86. She's definitely £10 better than that. She's a 96 rated filly at the very least. And I think she's going to be very hard to beat in that nursery of 4:50 at Newmarket.
Thank you, DJ. Graham Rodway, what's your nap?
Yeah, 2:05 at Haydock Nugget.
Thank you very much. Right then, before you go, chaps, as we touched upon at the start of the show, an incredible weekend. They've literally just hit the opening tee shots in the Ryder Cup. Sergio's in the bunker. So I want to ask you lads very quickly, don't want loads of reasoning, what's going to happen in the following? DJ, who's going to win the Ryder Cup?
USA.
G-Rod?
Oh, you're so negative, DJ. Come on, there's an Irish captain, right? There's an Irish player, isn't there? Shane Lowry. I mean, he's one of the best players on the team. I think that the Irish are going to lead us to victory again, well, Bruce.
I'll tell you something. If you think Pep Guardiola overthinks things in big games, Padraig Harrington will overthink
this. Shout. I agree with that completely. I think America will wipe the floor with Europe. Who's going to win in the potential title decided between Chelsea and Man City, David Jennings?
I am absolutely all over City. I'm pleading with our Liverpool group to back City, which we never, ever do. It's like frowned upon if you ever tip or mention City in our Liverpool group.
But You've gone completely mad.
Man City are an incredible price to beat. This Chelsea team are overrated, I think.
No, they're not. You've gone completely mad there. Put him right, G-Rod.
Yeah, no way. Chelsea, I mean, they're going to win the title this year, I think.
Yeah, they are. They're going to romp to it. And they're so pricing this up as if it's been played on neutral ground. It's nuts. Chelsea value there. I'm going to answer that, my own question on that one. And finally, what's the other big... Oh, yeah, we've got Anthony Joshua beat Usyk. Who's going to win the big fight? We'll start with you, G-Rod.
Oh, it's a tough one to call, isn't it? I mean, I expect that Joshua will probably have too much power for him, Bruce, but it could be interesting, of course, because Usyk is a very, very good boxer. And, you know, my worry with him, though, is the weight, of course. You see these blown-up cruiserweights, they often get found out in heavyweight bouts, and I just wonder if that might happen to Usyk. But if he's strong enough and he's powerful enough, I think he can beat Joshua. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a cracking fight.
It certainly is. Well, who do you fancy there, DJ? You're
Bruce,
a loving fighter, aren't you?
No, I haven't got a clue. The only thing that did surprise me, I just did presume, not for any reason, but I presume Joshua will be much shorter in the market. I was shocked to see him as big as he is.
I'm not sure about that. I think the underdog's worth a little tickle there. It's a great weekend. The racing's brilliant. The rest of the sport is brilliant. Guys, the one thing we would all three of us say is do please avoid getting carried away with the betting and have too many bets, because you can turn a fantastic weekend into a miserable one if you start trying to back absolutely everything. But otherwise, enjoy it. Hope you get plenty of airtime, plenty of time on the sofa and plenty of time to watch what should be some wonderful sport. There's some brilliant racing. Maddie and the team are going to look back on that on Monday. And then we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast, looking ahead to the highlight of the flat season. It's the Arc.